This is Pastor Emery. We are studying the Mystery Babylon of Revelation chapters 17 and 18, a prophesied world-controlling government which would make war on the followers of Jesus Christ. One of the first truths to emerge from such a study is that the Christians are to be on the earth during the rule of that Antichrist system. Therefore, the teaching of a pre-tribulation rapture is false and is actually one of the deceptions of Mystery Babylon. Here is a curious historical fact which may or may not have a bearing on America's future. Bible students will remember that in the book of Daniel, we read of King Nebuchadnezzar building a huge image of pure gold in ancient Babylon on the plain of Dura. That is spelled D-U-R-A and is in Daniel 3, verse 1. President Jimmy Carter, who tailored almost every action of his presidency to the benefit of the multinational financial conglomerates and the red communist nations, comes from a place called Plains, Georgia. The Atlanta Constitution of September 8, 1976, reported that maps of Georgia made prior to the Civil War showed that the original name of that area was, and get this, the Plains of Dura, spelled D-U-R-A, exactly as in Daniel 3:1. Could that be another one of those almost hidden signs from God Almighty that the golden image of Mystery Babylon rules America? Perhaps it is. I do pray that many of my listeners are gaining an understanding of what God has revealed in these last chapters in the book of Revelation. We are now in Revelation 18, the chapter describing the fall and destruction of the Scarlet Woman of Revelation 17. And in that we see that the rich men and the men who control the trade of the world will weep and cry for Mystery Babylon when she is destroyed. I began this series on prophetic Babylon, the Scarlet Woman riding the Red Beast of Revelation 17, primarily for two reasons. The first, and really important one, was to teach the truths revealed about this world-ruling system of Antichrist, as revealed by the angel to John and to we who are believers in Christ Jesus. The second reason, and a byproduct of the first, was to expose what I believe to be one of the greatest falsehoods taught in Christian churches today, and that is the false doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the Christians off the earth. That doctrine has gained wide acceptance among millions of professing Christians. It has been the subject of countless tens of thousands of radio broadcasts, of millions of copies of books and tracts, and even now is being spread by professionally made movies shown in churches all over America. The pre-tribulation rapture doctrine is based on adding new interpretations to a few passages of Scripture, catering to the hopes of Christians who are fearful of persecution, and overwhelming them with repetition, repetition, and more repetition of that doctrine. This is continued all of the time by ministers who themselves, often in private conversations, will admit that the Bible does not teach a pre-tribulation removal of the Christians from the earth. I had this demonstrated to myself personally several years ago right here in the city of Phoenix. A rather large and well-known church in Phoenix had a guest minister on television here for a week preaching on prophecy, mostly about the Antichrist, the 7 years tribulation, and how Christians will all be gone in the rapture before the Antichrist is revealed. I had the opportunity to question that evangelist over his preaching out of Daniel 7 and skipping 4 of the verses while he read all of the rest. He skipped verse 21 and 22 and verse 25 and 26 in his series during the 4 nights he was here locally. He repeated a score or more of times that the Christians would not be here when these things came to pass, but verse 21 says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, And verse 25 said that this same horn, which the evangelist called the Antichrist, would wear out the saints of the Most High, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. I received no satisfaction from the evangelist, so the next day I took a Christian from my church with me and called on the minister who had sponsored him. I began my presentation by telling him that I did not believe that the Bible taught a pre-tribulation removal of the Christians from the earth. I read those four verses in Daniel 7 to him and started to make a further statement when he interrupted me with this, quote, "Well, it does teach in the parable of the tares and the wheat that the tares are removed first," unquote. You can imagine that I was astonished. Here was a man who taught the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I had taken the time to go over and argue with him to try to convince him that his doctrine was wrong, and I had not been in his office 2 minutes, and he quoted scripture to me which proved that the tares, or the wicked, were removed before the righteous. This startled me, and I was almost speechless for a moment, but I did then turn to Matthew 13 and continued a conversation for a few more minutes on the parables of Jesus, where he makes it plain that the end of this age would be a time of great trouble and tribulation, which would culminate with the removal of the wicked, not the removal of the righteous. To my continued surprise, the minister again agreed with me, but this time he added, "But all the churches are teaching it," meaning, of course, that the churches were teaching the pre-tribulation rapture. I agreed, but that did not make it true. It was still false. And then this man did, I suppose, what many do. He justified his teaching of a false doctrine, which he knows to be false, with these words, and this is practically an exact quote. "Well, but it does get people thinking about the end time, and it gets them in the church, and it gets them saved," end of quote. At that point, I looked at my Christian brother who had accompanied me. He looked at me. We got up, closed the conversation, and left. To have a well-known Christian minister of the gospel tell us that teaching false doctrine was all right because it got people saved was the epitome of self-deception. In effect, he was saying that God's Bible truth won't get the people in the church and get them saved, so what we must do is teach them falsehood, and that stirs them up, gets them in, and then we can save them. We left. I've never gone back. That minister still teaches the rapture. He still has the evangelist here several times a year to preach the rapture, and they go on and on while the people and the nations of the world continue in sin and iniquity, and the red beast of world communism devours nation after nation. I never did get to ask him, where was the rapture for the millions of Christians in Russia, in Romania, Bulgaria, and in Poland? The Bolsheviks murdered or put in slave camps every minister and every professing Christian in Russia between 1918 and 1934. Realistic estimates are that they killed over 20 million. Where was the rapture for the Christians in China or in Cuba? How about now in Vietnam and Cambodia? The whole fabric of Christian civilization in Europe and in the Western Hemisphere is coming undone under the lying deceptions of red communism and the wars and plunder of the Antichrist. And the ministers still tell their flocks that Antichrist rule is not yet, it is off in the future, and you won't be here anyway, you'll be raptured off into the heavens. God rebuked lying ministers in Jeremiah 23, a chapter which begins with, "Woe be unto the pastors." Included in his rebuke are these words, "If they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings." America is not being turned from her evil way because America is not being taught God's counsel. The people are not hearing God's words. Instead, they are being taught fables and old wise tales. They are being taught the traditions of men, which turn from the truth. Well, I hadn't intended to say that much about the pre-tribulation rapture. If you've listened to this broadcast for some time, you know the Bible teaches no such thing. But let's go on with our study of Mystery Babylon, where we left off last week. God called his people to come out of Babylon in verse 4 of Revelation 18, but he made it plain in verse 6 and 7 that coming out would be by destroying Mystery Babylon the Great. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In verse 8, her plagues are called death and mourning and famine. The earth is now seeing that famine coming worldwide, part of the tribulation under this Babylonian system of world government. Death is another of her plagues, for in verse 6 of chapter 17, we saw she had caused the death of so many of God's saints, that John saw her, as it were, drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. That she was and is the cause of all wars seems true by the last verse of chapter 18, for when she is destroyed, we read, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Is this some future Antichrist that rules for a few short years? Nonsense. Mystery Babylon's rule is already here. Last week we saw that Jeremiah 50, 51, and 52 are parallel prophecies to Revelation 17 and 18, except Jeremiah's prophecies are given in more detail. I said I believed, from verses 6 and 7 of Revelation 18, that God's people were called to make war against Babylon, not to retreat, and not to cling to a false hope that they would be removed from the field of battle by a rapture to the heavens. Verse 7 says, "How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her." To whom is God speaking, if it is not to those whom he called in verse 4, my people? The call to come out of her, my people, is not a call to divorce yourself from the world, but to engage in battle against the world system of mystery, Babylon the Great. Now turn with me over to Jeremiah 51, and we'll see how this truth that it is God's people who will destroy prophetic Babylon is shown here. Jeremiah 51, "Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me, a destroying wind. And I will send unto Babylon fanners, that shall fan her, and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about." This phrase, fanning, is used in other places in the Bible to indicate fanning as you would grain. The tares, being lighter than wheat, are blown away with the destroying wind, while the wheat does what? Falls to the ground, to the earth. No, the wheat is not taken off up into heaven in God's fanning. Then in verse 5, "For Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his God, of the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel." So it must be that Babylon is to be fanned, to be destroyed, to save Israel. Now, if you think that the little Jewish land of Palestine is the Israel of the Bible, then, of course, this makes no sense. In the context of Israeli today, there is no Babylon which would fit. But in the truth that America and the other Anglo-Saxon nations of Christendom, or the lands of Christ's dominion, are the lands of God's people Israel, and they are ruled over by a system of debt, money, war, and plunder called Babylon, then this fits both Jeremiah and Revelation. Then follows the call to come out in Jeremiah 51, verse 6. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Now this Babylon of Jeremiah 51 is not the ancient city of Babylon, is made plain in the next verse, verse 7. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. This Babylon here in Jeremiah 51 is worldwide. It affects all nations. It fits John's vision in Revelation of mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. There the angel told John that this scarlet woman was that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. In verse 3 of chapter 18 we read, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her." The ancient city of Babylon of 2,500 years ago controlled only a tiny portion of the earth, only a handful of nations. And if you read 2 Kings 17 and 18, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Daniel, you find that that ancient Babylon took captive only a portion of the kingdom of Judah, which in turn was only a small part of the nations of Israel. Ancient Babylon never did have rule over all of Israel, much less all of the earth. But here, this prophetic Babylon not only rules over God's people Israel, but rules over all the nations of the earth. Jeremiah could have been prophesying only of prophetic mystery Babylon, the same Babylon which John saw in vision in Revelation 17 and 18. Reading on in Jeremiah, verse 8, "Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain, if so be she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed." Yes, many are trying to heal, to prop up, to save the present world system of debt and usury, war, plunder, and oppression. But God has other ideas. "Forsake her, and let us go every one into his own country, for her judgment reacheth unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies." That is what we read of Mystery Babylon in verse 5 of Revelation 18. Now listen to this next verse in Jeremiah 51. "The Lord hath brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God." We are to declare in Zion God's work. And what is God's work? Well, it seems here to be plain that it is the destruction of this Babylon which hath made the earth drunken, which has made the nations mad. Zion, of course, would be the place of regathered Israel, the place where God has gathered his people Israel to bless them according to his covenant. The only place in all of the world which fits that description is this United States of America. Come, and let us declare in America, in Zion, that God is destroying Babylon. He goes on in the next verses describing that destruction, and then in verse 19 and on, God tells us who he will use. He will use the people of Jacob, the people of Israel, to destroy Babylon, and that will have to leave until next week. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.